football on off the ball.
For Arsenal, it's a sickener. I mean, there was a lot of optimism, wasn't there, around that? You know, you could see the fans getting excited. I saw some footage from the Box Park of the fans really getting on it. City, their old hands are going to Wembley.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
That is the show today.
Well, see you later.
Rap. Yeah, normally we book many guests, but, you know.
Really selling it here.
How are you getting on there, Sarah, in the new role?
I'm putting my faith in you two. You should take it as a compliment, really.
I put my faith in you two. Well, that's your first mistake. Mm. I mean, it's your latest mistake.
I have more confidence in yourself.
I'll just stay quiet over here for the rest of this. Wow.
Now you've got a fill. All filler, no thriller.
There's a certain dynamic as well when you have three fellas looking at you and you're just over here by yourself.
Yeah, it's actually freezing over there.
Scene. It is, but it's nice. It's kind of chilly.
No, it's too cold.
It's brisk.
I host the quiz over there, and by the end of the quiz, you like little icicles coming off your face. It's the air conditioning, which never worked, now works too well.
It's been a microclimate always over in that corner. Whereas here, it's Luke Warm. You know him?
Yes.
Familiar.
Excitement has bred through. We got through the weekend's action yesterday. Although there is still a little bit left. If you want some. If you want it. But now I feel it. I feel the intangible energy around the place that people are now have a nervous excitement about them. You're off.
I'm off. And you're getting rid of me.
Explain the journey.
So I'm heading to Prague tomorrow. I'm on the road early. I'm actually going to tell you exactly my route. And please, if anyone else is following the same route, come and say hello, because you might get a chance to appear on Off The Ball socials if that's something you're interested in doing. So I'm flying from Dublin to Newcastle at 8:15 tomorrow morning.
Newcastle.
A quick stop off.
Pint of brown ale.
A stop off that I'm a little bit not concerned about, but any delays might
tighten off, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tight enough. I think I just actually had that up here.
Flying Ryanair. Guaranteed to be on time.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Not to take off on time, but you'll arrive on time.
medical emergency.
So yeah.
Unless you have a medical emergency, sorry. That was Ryanair you were flying with, yeah?
Yeah. They made up that time. Go ahead.
Yeah, no.
There's only 3 hours in the end.
Yeah.
Get that lad off.
the pilot said as we were landing. I was like, this guy's, I don't know what's going to happen to this guy's life. But he was like, yeah, the paramedics come on and then we'll go to Dublin after that.
That's mental.
It's funny now.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
We think.
We don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we'll never know. Unless he's listening.
Are we sure?
Yeah, unless they're listening. But yeah, I'm supposed to land in Newcastle for 9:25 and then take off from Newcastle again to Wrocław in Poland at 11:15. So it's a big enough of a gap if everything's going okay.
An hour and 3/4, is it?
It's plenty of time.
Yeah, it should be all right. Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine Newcastle never being obviously. So
yeah, I can't imagine.
Not going to be massive, is it?
Yeah, I can't imagine so. No.
There was a fella. Did you see the fella wrote in last night? The news round that he's a 45-minute.
That's tight.
That's
yeah. I have heard that.
That's nervy.
Squeaky one time.
Yeah, I don't know what his route was, but
is that because like the gate technically closes a half hour before the flight goes? Like I know
it never does.
It never does, but like. You're not giving yourself much of a chance there. I'd be intrigued to know how that fella gets on. I really would.
What do you know what airport he's?
No, I don't know anything. It's Edinburgh.
It's small enough airport. It's not massive.
I don't remember it at all. I've only been once.
I went once as well.
It's
a long time ago.
It's not huge.
Mm. Went to one of those propeller planes. You know those ones?
Oh yeah.
Old Air Arran, crazy.
Two-seater each side.
You're bending down if you're of the 6 foot variety. Do you know what I mean?
Does it feel small?
It feels like, I wouldn't say private jet now.
All right.
We'll go that far. But it does feel intimate.
Mm. Yeah.
You'd want to know the person. You know what I mean?
From Poland.
Get to know them by the end of it.
From Poland, where do you go?
Sorry, yeah. So I land in Poland at
Wrocław.
Yeah.
You said it properly.
I think it's Wrocław. As far as I've done a bit of research, but I could be way off it. And if there's anyone from that part of the world, you can let me know. I wouldn't want to be getting it wrong for the locals. So I'm due to land there at 2:30 their time, which would be 1:30 Irish time. And then I have a train from Wrocław at...
How do you spell that?
Wrocław.
All right.
Wrocław.
Yeah.
My internet here is saying...
Wrocław, but I could be wrong. That's what I've heard.
You can ask the locals when you get there anyway.
Mm.
Again?
Wrocław.
Yeah, there you go.
Wrocław.
Wrocław.
There you go.
Wrocław. Yeah.
Sorry, I meant to mute
go.
That.
Just keep saying it for the next 3 hours.
James Tracy breaking down the Leinster defence. Wrocław. And then you got a train.
How long is the train?
Train is 4 hours.
Whoa.
On the nose. Oof.
Did you get upgraded to first class?
I don't know. No.
You should. It's like it probably cost you about fiver, and then there'll be some lad bringing you in white table service drinks.
Oh, yeah?
Opening your little bottles of beer for you, sir. Have another one.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to look into that. But yeah, that train is at a 5:15 their time, so 3 hours, 2.5 hours after I land. So I have plenty of time there. And then I'm due to arrive in Prague at a little after 9 o'clock local time.
Not tomorrow night.
Yes.
Whoa.
Not too late though. Like
no, it's perfect timing for pints. Having on the train.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
If you're up to it after that long.
Yeah, it's a long old day. But look, listen, that's all part of it.
The fastest train is 3 hours 55 minutes.
Yeah, I think that must be it then. Yeah, that must be it. So
you know what? It's not bad. It's not bad.
And
it's
I'm not the craziest one. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an experience.
How many of you are going together?
There's four of us going. Three of my mates. So we're all taking the same route, and I can't imagine we'd be the only ones taking that route. But
no,
I'd say there's more popular routes, to be fair. I'd say the Newcastle stop off is slightly rare, but someone said they're flying to Edinburgh, so
at what point was Dublin to Prague undoable?
It depends what undoable is, but as we, when the draw came out, we immediately went and looked and regarded it as too expensive, so decided have a look elsewhere, and that seemed like the most. The Newcastle thing wasn't part of like the plan, obviously, but ideally you would have just flown straight to Wrocław, but it worked out a little bit cheaper.
You know what? I like the plan.
Yeah.
Because then you have all day Thursday. You get yourself into it. You know, you get a bit of a lie-in on Thursday.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
I'm also there until Saturday too.
Yeah.
So it's like an extra day. So we're flying home late.
So it's only hectic at the start, really.
Yeah. Although we are flying back home from Wrocław as well, so we'll have to get the train
back.
Is it
the exact same journey back?
No, Newcastle on the way home, just straight to Dublin.
What's your plans, social media wise? Can you reveal?
I suppose as far as the journey goes over, like I'll just document how that turns out. And
Doing like a travel on-chain style vlog?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's sort of the plan, yeah. I'll have to work out the intricacies of that, but ideally bump into a few people along the way.
Mm.
And hear their stories and their routes. And
it's exciting.
It is exciting. It's going to be, I'm hearing there's going to be 7,000 or 8,000 Irish people over there.
And the allocation is
1,000.
I think barely one. Yeah, barely one.
You like the stadium?
Yeah, you were saying you were there.
You'll like it.
Well, I'm not going to be in there.
Intimate.
You don't have a ticket yet. Anyone has a ticket, give me a shout.
No, hopefully.
I'll give you a few quid.
I saw there was four tickets going for 83 grand.
Yeah, I saw that last night, yeah.
Ridiculous. I won't be buying those. Reasonable.
Do you have an internal budget?
It's funny that I actually heard them talking about that in the news round last night. How much would you pay for a ticket? I don't know. It's
They're 500 quid now.
500?
Would you pay 500?
All right.
Yeah.
Two tickets together, 573.
So that's 1,100.
Is it 1,100 or is it 2 for 573? I presume via GoGo is like, no, it's 1,100.
I'd nearly reserve them there, Jaron. In the month of March.
I would absolutely pay it. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's gone from 50 grand to 500 and maybe wait another few hours and it'll be down to 50.
I'd say I'd be confident for you.
I don't know. I think that's fairly reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd pay that.
500 quid, especially if you're already there.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. If you are spending way more than that to get there, like that's face value Champions League final.
Well worth it.
Well, yeah, actually, I got I imagine most, if you're flying direct to Prague, you'll be paying more than that, yeah. I got my flights for considerably cheaper than that, like, so I'm already in bonus territory.
Saving already, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think I think I would. I don't think 500 is unreasonable at all. No.
And then you will get
viagogo.ie out there if you want to get onto this. There.
That's the thing.
Why don't you just do it on air now, as opposed to waiting until afterwards, where one of our friendly listeners is like, I'm just going to get in there ahead of Matthew.
They're already on.
Sorry. He looks busy. Just keep him talking, lads.
They're not even going. They're just going to
and then sell them up again, and I have to pay 800 quid now.
That's not bad.
I was not. I thought it'd be thousands there.
And you really like it. Like, you like it inside there.
You're in the home fans, obviously. No opposing team colours.
Can you get in? I wonder. I know people were saying to buy the tickets properly, you have to have
a check
ID.
Date.
I don't. Yeah.
One of those little translators up to your mouth. Yes, I am absolutely Czech fan. How about that Miroslav Klose?
Just be the strong silent type. Yeah,
don't
strong silent type. Unbearable lightness of being, you say. Yes, my favourite book also.
You're slightly off of that accent there now. I actually have a Czech friend from school.
I don't think it was that bad. Go on, Dad. Give us the real accent there. Give us the real Czech accent.
Oh, everyone's a critic, aren't they?
Yeah.
I could give you my friend's number. He'll get you in.
Okay, yeah.
I have a Czech friend from school.
Do you have any tickets, no?
He might do. He's Czech and Irish, so if anyone does, but I know. It's going to be him. Is,
I know, but yeah.
I presume he sounds Irish, then, if he's,
No, he's got a bit of a, he's got a twang.
What does the Czech twang sound like?
Something like that. Not too far off.
No, the hole was dug.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You know, I could stay there. So,
yeah, but that's it. That's my plan for tomorrow.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be cool.
And tell me this now. What's your prediction?
I don't like predictions. So yeah.
Do you have to feel something?
Yeah. No. I actually always have a similar sort of thing to you about always having great hope in Ireland, no matter who they're playing. Even though, like, all logic up until...
So if we go through, how will we go through? Was that the question?
Yeah, whenever we want to look at that, yeah, I'm not looking for a direct scoreline in minutes, like, but I'm looking for how's this going to play out? Because I'm trying to picture it in my head, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cagey. I don't think there's going to be much quality. It might take a moment of quality, but...
Being battered for the first 20 minutes, and if we hold out...
Yeah.
It only being 1-0 to them with 20 minutes left to go, and us getting one chance... And if we score it, it goes to extra time. If we don't, it doesn't. And then extra time, all bets are off. That's my one all 90 minutes.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Yeah,
it's a new era for the Czechs. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I don't see there being a rake of goals.
This is historically a fixture of debuts. And their manager, one of the oldest managers, around 74 years old, Miroslav Kubek. His first senior international game as manager. If he qualifies for the World Cup, he'd be the oldest manager.
Yeah, we were looking through his kind of his career there last week, and he's managed just about every single club from Division 1 to 3 in Czechia. So he's not inexperienced, but yeah, as you say, he's not an international manager per se, but he's had about three different stints with Slavia Praha. So he's been around the block, all right.
Good.
I think this is going to penalties. And well, it's destined a 1-1 or 0-0.
It's interesting you say that, because I've noted in our comments a lot of people are asking, who would your penalty takers be? So people's heads are going that way.
See, and Brian Kerr, something like this on Sunday afternoon, is like, the five you pick, they're not going to be on the pitch, guaranteed at the end, and you can't make changes. Although, what's the story about England having a fourth goalkeeper as a penalty expert? What's the point of that? See this? Brighton's second keeper,
Jason Steele.
He's like a penalty genius.
They were wondering why he was called up.
So like a Tim Krull, bring him off the bench.
I think it might
even
be for the training.
No, it's not even. Yeah, it's not even in the squad type job.
He's an extra coach.
Yeah. And to be fair to him, he was starting for Brighton maybe 2 years ago. But I know like that's no reason to have him in the squad now. You're right, like it is an added coach type thing.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all. Maybe he plays in one of these games. I don't know.
Four goalkeepers is weird too.
So who the four? So you've Pickford, Trafford.
He's dividing the squad in two. I didn't mean to take us down in England hole there, but like, who cares?
It is just a weird thing. Yeah.
But. The fourth goalkeeper penalty saving. We turns out we have a specialist already on the team. Obviously, he's worth way more now. Like, Creedon Keller is going to come into his own when he starts playing for a Champions League club, right?
I think he's already coming to his own, though.
But even more, like the value of having a penalty expert in goals.
Yeah, sure.
You could be absolutely butchers in the box. It's just grand. Creedon will save it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. There's been a lot of talk about the whole penalties thing, and I can absolutely see a world where it goes to penalties, but. I don't know, like I just think penalties is just one of them things, like, and whatever about practicing penalties and trying to replicate exactly what it's going to be, like I think that's all a waste of time, to be honest. I think it's all right to have an idea in your head of who your ideal five are. As you say, majority of them probably won't be on the pitch by the time it comes around, but like I think penalties is just one of them things. You just take it as it comes. And
Are you penalties as a lottery man?
Not totally. Like, it's not like it's every penalty that's taken is 50-50. Of course it is, in the sense that like it either goes in or it doesn't. But I think you can have some players are better than others at penalties. Some goalkeepers are better at saving penalties than others. Like, there definitely is a psychology or whatever to it, and a quality of striking the ball. But I don't think it's I don't think there's value in kind of putting too much time into it, especially right. Especially in windows like this where you've only got a couple of hours. What two sessions they have? Really.
Yeah,
what
well, like a lot of teams would do, the last thing they do in training is yeah, like right.
But,
I think,
but they're not even doing that.
I don't think there's any value in that at all. Like just yeah, purely no. because no, because you're standing in the dead silent training pitch with on all that sort of stuff. I just think the scenario is couldn't be any more different from what it's going to be on the night if it does get there.
Hamer Hargrimsson was asked about this, about practicing penalties.
Before you get to that, right? I think I said exactly what you've said, and BK was saying exactly the same thing to John Duggan on Sunday. But if that was true, Johnny Wilkinson and Dan Carter could never practice winning World Cup finals with kicks and penalties. It would be their practice would be pointless. If you take that through to its logical conclusion, it's like, well, you can never replicate the psychological scenario. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah. Obviously we can't, but... I will rely on my technique being excellent because I have practiced my technique to the point of excellence.
Yeah, that's fine, but I am talking from a point of view of trying to replicate the scenario in training where you're doing a penalty shootout. Obviously, you can sit there for an hour and do the same thing over and over again.
So you think all visualization is...
No, I don't. Balance. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I don't think there's... I think in this scenario, I think if you're going to be practicing penalties, that's down to you. That's not down to him or Hargrimsson to sit the team down for an hour at the end of training and say, right, we're going to take penalties for the next hour. Yeah, if you want to be good at penalties, I think that's just totally up to you to go and practice your...
They've always practiced and had
to go and practice your technique. Like the whole, like, not to bring it back to Arteta or take a dig at Arteta or let him catch astray, but this whole thing of playing speakers in from the side to make it seem like you're an Anfield, I think that is the biggest load of rubbish.
No, I take your point, yeah. Like, it's interesting because even, say, in basketball, they practice free throws in, like, training centres with no crowd. And the biggest thing about a free throw is that the home crowd behind the hoop, so you know it's not really as you say it's not the same scenario, but they still tend to do it.
The rugby thing is slightly different too, in the sense that you're not trying to kick it past somebody else. There's no one stopping you. The technique is the exact same. You need to kick the ball from XYZ positions, so a limited amount of positions on the pitch, and that is just going directly over between two posts. There's no person standing in front trying to stop you doing what you're doing. There's no kind of aspect to it of he's gone right for the last five times he's taken a penalty that someone else can actually note and be like, okay, I'm going to dive to the right here because this is what he normally does, you know.
It's a slight complicating factor, but it's not the... I would argue it's not the definitive one. You were saying Hamer.
Yeah, Hamer said that they haven't practiced. He said there's more important things to be preparing for.
In that short window, yeah.
Yeah, so the Brian schedule made is... They joined yesterday, they're training today in Ireland and they're flying it tomorrow, a bit like yourself.
Is that right,
yeah? And Troy didn't train yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, all eyes are on Troy. Like, everyone's looking at Troy, minding every step he takes and every mouthful he eats and every sup
he drinks.
Let me
just try that for you.
Everything. Yeah. He must be freaked out by all this attention. But the penalty preparation thing, I personally don't think it hurts if you practice. I don't think it hurts. I think a handy 5 or 10 minutes at the end of the training sessions, it's this muscle memory of kicking a ball like that. How often do you kick a ball from 12 yards out in the centre of goal in a pitch? So it's just literally something.
And to that point,
you can practice.
Can you not inspire these incredibly competitive, single-minded, selfish individuals by, like, having a bet? Like, somebody else, you have to do something you really hate, like cleaning up, or, you know, stuff that you never have to do at home because you have, you know, servants. Yeah.
Roy Keane did a thing when he was Sunderland manager, and he went in goals and was like, if you score me, I'll give you whatever amount of money. And it became a fun exercise.
And he was saving loads.
He saved loads of them. I'm sure they're doing it. I'm sure.
I mean, he was obviously worth 50 million at the time. So, but yeah, okay.
They absolutely are taking penalties.
They're doing 5-10 minutes at end of training.
It's
but
not like it's
I
an
take
active,
your point, yeah.
active, like ignorant. I know Hamer has said that we're not practicing this. Haven't got time. We need to be doing other stuff. And while I think that
could also be a lie,
of course.
That's what I mean.
They absolutely 100% are taking penalties in training. Of course they are. But I just don't think it's a case of we need to actively set aside this amount of time, like, you know.
Yeah, I wonder, the other thing is the mindset too. If you're preparing for penalties are you going to wait for 120 minutes to get going here?
Yeah, maybe.
And it's mad we've spent the last whatever 10 minutes going on about the penalties, and my initial point about it at the start was that I don't know why we need to talk about penalties so much because we've got 120 minutes.
What's your feeling?
I'm hopeful. I think if there was ever a... this is the best opportunity we could have really hoped for, aside from this game being at home. So I think the Czechs are vulnerable. I don't think they're a brilliant side outside of that either. And I think they're going to be slightly mentally kind of I think they're mentally fragile as far as a football team goes.
Has anyone's mind changed
about what's going to happen?
Yeah,
well, I'm more hopeful now that the game. It's just the natural ebb and flow of your fandom. Just before kickoff, I'll be terrified.
Yeah,
and I do think they will batter us for 20 minutes. I don't think it'll be caged from them. I think they'll be going for.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think new manager. What else are you going to do? He's got a totally different style of play to the way they've been playing up to this point.
Yeah.
So he will be going against his instincts, or he will be forcing his instincts on them, which would be better for us.
What do you think?
Yeah, it'd be the same as Jer. Like, I'd have a innate feeling in myself that Ireland will win every game, no matter who it is. But then as the game comes closer and closer, that kind of teeters between whether that's right or wrong. I think we'll win. I think, I think I'll go to penalty, so I think it'll be one of those awful watches, like an awful football game to watch.
And yeah, that is the thing. Like, although the last window was exceptionally brilliant as a whole in every way, shape and form, we do know this team is capable of not turning up, you know, which is always a worry, which is also what makes it so fun. And
I think it's going to be a big VAR decision.
I hope not. I'd hate
I feel like there's going to be a big VAR thing.
Well, there is in every game ever now.
I really feel like there's going to be
a fairly safe VAR.
The balance probability that is correct.
There's going to be a VAR. There's going to be a VAR thing.
I see.
What do you think is going to happen though? Apart from VAR, you like that's you know, if it's like Thursday,
VAR against us or for us?
Not just in general. He's not being too specific here.
No, I think it'll be a big VAR cut. A big VAR cut.
The atmosphere will be good.
Great show, man. Great.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty confident. Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
Did you buy Stephen Doyle's treatise last night? That this lad's a dentist.
He said that to me yesterday in the office. Actually, I heard him say he said he was like, "Oh yeah, I was."
Well, I made it all the way there, so he obviously gave him a good response.
He said I was talking to somebody about this hurdle. I was like, "Come on, Stephen,
that was you." Oh, you didn't get a name.
Wow!
Oh
wow!
Shots fired. Some lad. What's his name? Young fella.
Your man that does be hanging around out there.
Having played football for years and taken hundreds of penalties. I think it's one of the easier things in football. Keeper's at a disadvantage more these days as he has to keep his foot on the line.
Who says that?
The great DK, who was a goal-scoring midfielder.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Wow. I revealed this to us once.
David Blatt.
Frank Lampard.
So, to your point about it not being the same every time, there are certain players who will get involved in that psychological battle with the keeper, right? Mm. And you, so, your man has scored the 14th penalty for Fulham with the broken skull.
Oh, Raúl Jiménez.
Yeah, so he did that twice at the weekend. You're like, whoa, and then still scored.
Yeah.
He's got 14 in a row, which is a record.
But it's not, to DK's point here, right, it's not about the technique of taking a penalty.
Yeah.
It's about the pressure of the people.
But my point is, if you are a centre back, then you take the same penalty and you practice hitting the top corner as fast and as hard as you absolutely can, or the bottom corner, which is obviously more likely these days, right? And the keeper saves it, but you've hit it on target. You're shaking your head already, I can see.
No, I just think that's not how it works. Like, I just don't think that that's how it works. I don't think you can stand there in a training pitch and do it 100 times and nail a ball into the top corner. And it might go in 100 of those times. It won't, but it might do. And you step up there on that night to take that penalty. You can't factor in the situation. It is totally different.
So all psychology is bullshit, is what you're saying.
It's not all, but
essentially. It's like you can't train for anything.
No, there's no scenario you can
game plan for.
No, you can. You can give yourself the best opportunity. Sure,
you know. Did you not watch Top Gun? I mean, come on.
Yeah, a movie. Like, you can, you know.
Sorry, that's an off-air conversation. People don't know that we have Michael Owen, film critic here. Critical film, as opposed to I will watch a film and criticise it for you. Matthew hates movies.
It was all the Pulp Fiction references yesterday were completely going over your head.
Yeah.
What is this shit they're talking about?
Go watch films.
Why are they talking about trashy novels from the 60s.
Have you gotten through that list? We were compiling a list.
This is only growing. Lassie, growing.
Stand By Me.
Do you want me to go? This is slightly off the topic, but do you want me to go through some of the films that are on this list that have been recommended?
Yeah, of course.
Gladiator.
So we've got Cinderella Man.
Yeah.
Kingpin. Chaos. Mobland. Warrior. Weapons. Crank. The Beekeeper. Milk. Talladega Nights.
Weapons is quite recent, actually. Mm. That only came out.
Keepers, a Jason Statham film.
Yeah, that's what's on my. That's what's on this list here.
Phil Egan suggested a lot of these, and he's a big Jason Statham fan.
I think he sees massive himself in him.
Jason Statham fan. Self-proclaimed, but he'll tell you. He'll tell you all about him.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, that's where we're at.
All right, that's it.
So you haven't told us what's going to happen apart from VAR.
Yeah, it's just a big VAR call, mate.
Come on.
It's your green jumper.
Get off the fence. The splinter's in your arse. Come on. You've 2 days to workshop this now.
Ireland will win.
Oh. We are massive underdogs with the bookmakers, by the way.
Dermot Keane is a formula. Mobland is a series and not a movie.
I
might actually watch that.
Yeah. You're more of a series man, yeah.
Yeah, I like the series.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happened, I think.
I bought you a bit of time here. Yeah.
Ireland will win.
Yeah.
You don't know how, but you don't care how. Off someone's arse.
Do you think they win?
Well, I'm feeling more confident now, but I think that we'll still be in it at the end of 90 minutes, which is like all you can ask for when you're massive underdogs away from home.
I think are we 13-5? Is that what it was? That's a pretty big price. Not for any gambling advice around, but just on the face of it, like
you think it's more 50-50?
I think that's very kind to the Czechs, yeah.
14-5
and more than
if you'd seen us against Armenia and then been like,
to coin one of your own phrases, new information came to light.
New information came to light. Now that comes from a movie.
I just associated with you. I gave it to you, yeah. What movie is it from?
The Big Lebowski.
Oh, I have heard of that.
I've never seen that.
I've heard of it.
So all those references are totally, you're like, wow, what a weirdo. You keep saying the same thing again and again and again and again for no reason.
No. If I was saying what a weirdo, I wouldn't have used it there, you know.
It's throwing it back in my face.
No.
New information came to light. It really brings the room together.
Mm. 1990 says Red Power. Beckenbauer told his penalty takers which side to go in the semi-finals to take the pressure off his players.
See, we are 40 years on from that, the problem.
Yeah. Bohemian says, I used to say penalties in a DDSL.
Take or save?
Take. Scored 7 in a row.
Okay.
Same place every time. 8th one, the keeper said, you go here every time, buddy, and pointed to the place I hit all the time. I changed and I missed.
How did that keeper know? It was DDSL. Is he watching games?
Word-of-mouth scouting report. So it's very powerful.
He's Arthur in spirit and he's Arthur in body.
Very powerful. Very powerful.
ask these questions.
Paul Gascoigne, Gaza changed his mind last second.
Of course he did.
Against Germany in Euro 96 semi-final. And he put into the top corner.
Yeah.
Changed his mind. Literally, as he went up to the ball, he said, oh.
Do you reckon that's all like... Like, oh, I changed my mind last second and I missed. Or I changed my mind last second and I scored. Do you reckon they just changed their mind quite a lot and it doesn't really factor in certain cases? Well, you just don't really know.
I mean, the professional advice is pick your spot and stick to it. And Gaza went against that as he would normally do. By the way, I saw that chance again that he had to win that match. You know, to win it and goal to goal. It's literally unbelievable how he doesn't get a touch on the ball. It so slowly trickles across the area.
Yeah.
He anticipated the keeper getting a touch.
Yeah.
So he didn't go full on. Do you know what I mean?
That's what he says. That's his. Or else they'd been on the piss the whole time and he wasn't fit enough.
No, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, that's come a dentist chair.
I actually, do you know what? I watched that whole thing, whole game back for a podcast a few years ago. It's one of the most appalling matches ever. The standard is brutal.
Oh, but I thought you said football was so better in the past.
And then Gaza himself stands out as he's probably the best player on the pitch.
Oh.
And
I thought all football from the past was better than it is today.
I never said that.
See?
I never said that.
Oh, it trends that direction.
For me,
the arc of history bends towards everything being better in the past.
It's easy. See, nostalgia is very comfortable, Jer.
Why is it? Why?
Because it can change.
Safe space.
Well, revisionism is a whole genre of history.
In your head, it can't. And if it does, it can change for the better because it's already happened and nothing can change.
But it's ruining us. It's killing us.
What, nostalgia?
Yeah, we're being force-fed it so that you don't pay attention to the fact that they're immolating children in Gaza and that the whole world economy's gone to shit, but everybody's like on their phone going, oh, look, a goal from the 70s.
Well, that's escapism amazing. Because people feel they have no control over these world events.
Which came first? Just telling you. That's my theory. Anyway, let's go back.
The nostalgia is a reaction to the pain of the world.
Nostalgia.
Otherwise, you wouldn't need to go back. You would live in the present.
Hooked to
you're
your
probably
veins
wondering
like
what the history of Ireland and Czech Republic is.
I am, yeah.
You probably are wondering that. I was wondering. You know, it's been 14 years since they played. 14 years. It was a leap year in 2012. They played on the 29th of February.
Did we?
Yeah.
So has
Ireland won, Czech Republic won at the Aviva.
It's only been like 2 years.
3 years ago.
Do you know Ferran Torres' birthday is 29th of February?
Is it?
What age is Ferran Torres?
Six.
Five.
5 years of age.
Simon Cox scored a late equaliser.
Wow.
Let me read the introduction, BBC report.
This is Trap.
Match report. This is Trap. Ireland won, Czech Republic won. This is the last time we played each other, 29th February 2012 at the Uviva. Simon Cox, late equaliser, earned the Republic of Ireland a draw against the Czech Republic as James McLean came on for his Irish debut.
Hey.
Wow.
Too late.
Who scored for Czech Republic? Very famous player. Cult hero.
Rzyski.
Famous. No. Who said Smeacher?
Milan Baroš. Smeacher?
Milan Baroš. Ah. Lovely finish. Watch it this morning. Highlights are available on YouTube. Simon Cox scores a gorgeous goal.
Milan Baroš 66-1 to be top scorer at the Euros.
Petr Cech.
That was a great bet.
Nutmegs Petr Cech. Before that, then, you have to go back to 2007. Czech Republic 1, Republic of Ireland 0. Steve Staunton's dream of leading the Republic of Ireland to next summer's Euro 2008 finals is effectively over after Marek Jankulesevski's first half winner gave the Czech Republic an almost unassailable Group D advantage. The first game that they played in that group was at the Old Lansdowne Road, October 2006. That was 3 games ago. Ireland won, Czech Republic won. Who played that night? Centre half, debut, Marty Jan Cotter. Very well until Jan Cotter scored.
Paul Butler.
Paul McShane.
Oh. So the
Paul Butler, you're going back a few. We'll get to Paul Butler.
Do you have the 11?
Don't have the 11 for 2000 and I do.
This is the 2008 Ireland, Euros qualifiers.
Yes. This is Ireland 1, Czech Republic 1 in October 2006. Steve Staunton's in charge. The team is Henderson and goal. Henderson and goal. Stephen Kelly. Paul McShane. John O'Shea. Steve Finnan. Andy Reid. Lee Carsley. Jonathan Douglas.
Johnny Douglas.
Kevin Kilbane, who scores. Dublin's 1-0 up. 2 minutes later, Cotter equalises. Damien Duff and Robbie Keane. It is incredibly strong Czech side.
Our world-class management team.
All the greats.
Had Bobby Robson already disappeared from the backroom team at that stage.
Before that, 2004 is the last time we beat Czech Republic. It was a friendly. Ireland 2, Czech Republic 1, March 31st, 2004. And in February 2000, Ireland beat Czech Republic 3-2. At the time, Czech Republic were number 2 in the world.
Sorry, they finished top of that group. We were...
Matthew's yawning.
In 2008. What?
No.
I'm just yawning on there.
It's unintentional.
Czech Republic finished with 29 points. Germany finished second in that group. Ireland actually finished third ahead of Slovakia, Wales, Cyprus and San Marino.
Yeah.
No, we weren't close to finishing second. But
we did a deep dive in that a few years ago.
On that, on
with Stephen Hunt. With that Steve Staunton era, yeah. David on there. So yeah, February 2000, they were second in the world. We won 3-2. Robbie got a late winner. And 1994, the first time the Czech Republic, as we would know them, played Ireland. They won 3-1 in Dublin, and Pavel Nedved made his debut in that game. So it's been a debut from the greats. Paul Butler never played again for Ireland after that 2000 game when he got taken off at halftime. Mark and Jan Cotter. So in short, it's been a while since we played them. A decade and a half nearly.
Oh, that was the Stephen Ireland scoring against San Marino campaign in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
In the 94th minute. Saving your job.
Yeah. So, there's no recent history to go on here at all. Very evenly matched team. This is why people can't call this.
They have been as high as number 2 in the world. They have, a more top tier, longer form history than us. They're behind where they should be more than we are.
Yeah.
Currently, well, we're obviously way behind where we should be. But
the Czechs were the best team in Euro 2004, but Greece won that. That's true. Thomas Rosicki, Jan Cotter, incredible. Paul McShane got man of the match that night in Dublin against Jan Cotter.
Right.
Yeah. Kilbane scored. That is correct. I was dating a Czech girl then. Couldn't get her interested in it.
Interested in football? Like,
is there a pun in that or something? Are we missing something there?
No, I think
I'm just reading out the comments, lads.
Just leaving it pregnant, pause in the...
The Czechs are ranked 16 places above us, but in qualifying we're beaten 5-1 by Croatia and lost to the Faroes, I should say.
Can I just...
Are they that great?
So Ireland were obviously playing games in Croke Park because the Aviva was being rebuilt under the Staunton era, and everybody complained about the fact the games were terrible, but we had 74,000 at the Wales game, which is the first football game at Croker, and we won 1-0. It was a terrible game. Stephen Ireland scored... And we drew nil all with Germany in Croke Park, 67,000 at that. And then we played Cyprus. When the campaign is already over, it's like it's done, it's toast. We know we're not qualifying. And 54,000 people showed up to Croker to watch Ireland fluke a 1-1 draw with Cyprus. I just do wonder if maybe, you know, maybe we weren't stuck in the Aviva the whole time for games when the teams were popular and you go back and forth. Could no deal be done anywhere ever to, you know? All right, forget it, Jake.
No,
Chinatown.
It's another good idea.
Just check that out. Yeah. That's a good movie. Just check that out.
What's Chinatown?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just, as we're back on the movie thing, I see someone here saying that I dislike for watching movies. I don't have a dislike for watching movies. I just don't.
Yeah, you're not Michael. You're not Michael Owen.
No, it's an unfair comparison.
Because he actively hates movies.
What would be the logic behind moving out of Aviva for certain? Like, what type of games are you talking about? Like, moving to is it between Aviva and Croker, yeah, or is it between the two, or is it there? No, is like,
I mean, ideally, maybe there's something in between at 60.
Mm.
Like, I was out in Abbottstown the other day, for the National Gymnastics Championships,
right,
and. Like, it's an incredible facility. The rugby, there was underage rugby going on. There was...
Under-18s, I think, wasn't it? Girls, yeah. Under-18 girls were playing.
No, these were lads coming out of the rugby centre at maybe 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. Big lads, but young.
Right.
And it's an incredible facility. And like, so Bertie Hearn wanted to build a football stadium out there.
Sorry,
the FAI wanted to build a football stadium out there, and then Bertie was like, no, I'm going to build an 80,000-seater out there, which was nonsense. But actually,
the Bertie Bowl.
Exactly. If there'd been an in-betweener where we could bounce from one to the other, because like Croker, Gaelic football is going to fill Croker Park way more this year than it has done in ages.
Yeah.
And bizarrely, the Leinster Football Championship will probably move straight back to Croker next year because it's actually ready now. The Dubs fans will come and everybody else will come, except Kildare.
Westmead.
And it feels like if there's 54,000 going to watch Cyprus in a home game, like, we'd get more than whatever the capacity is for the Denmark game if we played Denmark, say.
Yeah.
Right. But if we're playing North Macedonia in a meaningless game, then, you know.
Yeah, I hear
you. Then you stick in Daily Mount. The new Daily Mount or the new RDS.
Yeah, like how many would we have got, say we were playing in Croke Park against Portugal?
Or how many would we have got in Croke Park for the France game or the England game in the rugby? Yeah, you're probably moving out every second year and you go, like, we're going to sell those tickets.
65,000, if not more.
For Portugal? I think we would have filled it.
82,000, do you think?
Yeah. Well, nobody knew we were going to win. If you tell everybody, we're going to win this game 2-0 and Ronaldo's going to get sent off, you'd have sold a million.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You're probably still getting close to it with Ronaldo himself. There's definitely merit in it. It's just one of those things where, how do we make that happen? And there's probably a lot of politics goes into it. At the same time, there was a lot of games I was at in the Aviva where attendances over the last few seasons, not good. Not good at all. Scraping 25,000-30,000. Now, not the most exciting games to go to, but
but that's due to the fact that the team were terrible.
Exactly,
Hung, you know?
Yeah, so...
In New Zealand for any... And there are also a lot of them were friendlies or campaigns that had died after two games, you know? So the rest of the games, even though they were World Cup,
you moved them back down to Daily Mount.
Nothing like,
New
the new Daily Mount.
Yeah,
yeah,
possibly. How big is the new Daily Mount?
18, I think, something like that.
A few more, but
there's always the RDS, I think, which is a 20 something. So
yeah,
we play. Did I go to a game? I think I went to a game of the RDS when I was a kid. They played
soccer.
Yeah, Paraguay maybe in a game. And Liam Lawrence scored. Anyone was at that? I think they played two games. Then they might have played Algeria as well.
Okay.
Around the time friend of the show, Joe Murphy was
getting his
caps.
His new name.
Caps for Ireland. Yeah.
There's a 50-year-old keeper playing in Bulgaria. Did you see this?
Oh, is there? Right?
Yeah, he's the oldest current.
The Bulgarian Joe Murphy.
I was thinking, there's a target for you.
Well, they brought in a new keeper there a few weeks ago. Their manager got sacked. Tranmere, they're in struggle town. They're heading towards relegation zone, but they might just have enough credit in the bank.
Yeah. Is there a rugby story, a brewing controversy about a luminous talent who Munster have let slip through their fingers?
So it's been brought to my attention this morning. Yes, Cashel.
All over The Athletic. It's the most read story in rugby crossover.
Yes.
See, in American football at the minute, there's actually nothing happening. Free agency is over and the draft is 3 weeks away. So there's all this, like, what are we going to write about now?
Yeah. So there's a guy coming from Cashel RFC. Tipperary prospect that's been he's been tapped up by some American colleges. Is this, do you have the colleges to mind?
Oh, I don't know.
There's a few different offers going.
They're D1 colleges.
Full rides.
So Division 1. And they haven't actually seen him in person. They've just seen it on the internet.
Can you say it tapped up?
You're allowed.
Is that a legal thing to do? Yeah, sorry. You can't do that in football. Like.
Well, it turns out you can.
You can't.
Tapping up is now totally...
it happens, but you can't outwardly say you're
can
doing
it. Can you not anymore? Like, who's going to... Sorry, with everybody.
You could be reported to FIFA for tapping up, can't you?
Yeah, I don't know. FIFA seem to not give a shit about anything anymore.
It's a very fair point,
Pep routinely seems to do it on camera after most games.
He's just advising those players about their careers. Yeah. You know, to give them...
Sorry, go on anyway.
His name, which I'm going to butcher, so apologies, but Olu Wanafemi, known as Nef Giwa, 6'7", 295 pound, second row, 20 years old, has been picked up. The American colleges, football colleges specifically, have gotten word of him and his size particularly, and are after him now. Reported by The Athletic and a few different places.
He's the hottest football recruit in the nation. That's what the entire nation of the United States, and he's never played in a game.
So he's played with Munster at underage level. He's played under 18s with Ireland, I believe. So obviously would be a massive shame for Munster, kind of like a Kobe McDonald scenario where this guy might be the next greatest thing, but someone's come in from abroad and is trying to steal him away.
What do you make of all this as a Munster man?
Delighted, yeah. Happy to have designed such an athlete. And I'm looking forward to reaping the benefits.
Yeah.
So it's Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Texas Tech, and SMU, which is like 4 out of 5 of them are SEC top colleges, like competing for national championship level. So there's also interest coming from Michigan, Clemson, and Kentucky, which essentially the rest of the SEC.
They're good. So,
big prospects. And it's one of those with, you know, Munster, they're not producing a huge amount of talent themselves these days. I don't think that's unfair to say. I was talking to Fiona Hayes about St. Munchen's, historically a very good school for producing rugby talent. They were hammered there by Prez in the Senior Cup final last week, 65-3, and apparently from what I'm hearing is a lot of those lads are choosing to play hurling over rugby at the minute. So there's a bit of an issue there, and like even if you're looking at the senior team now, half the team is Leinster Academy products.
I heard anecdotally through that hammering there last week that a lot of schools refused to play that team.
Refused to play who?
In the hammering shut it out by, was it Prez or Christians?
Prez. Yeah.
They won't play them.
Too good. They have all the talent right now, but even still, like, it's not really manifesting itself in the senior setup, which is an issue. You have the likes of Crowley, Crazy, or the Green Shoots, but apart from that, who else in that team has really come through the Munster system and is shining now? There's not many.
Well, like, for instance, that Prez bunch of players, like, what more can they do?
Yeah, well, they need a bit of competition.
Yeah, they won't get it.
And there's no great setup for these teams playing each other.
The next hurlers go down to Kilkenny to play. Presumably they're playing challenges/friendlies/something.
I heard they're going around and
the Leinster schools.
Like, I'm not going to do this. There's no good for the conference of our students.
No, but the Leinster schools, they must be coming up to play those. Yeah. And that's where the RFU needs to step in and go, right, we're going to have a combined
thing. I wonder what you do, yeah.
Well, they should have, the way the provincial football, like McRory will play their Leinster equivalents and Connacht equivalents in a semi-final and final. There's no real equivalent in rugby, which is bizarre. And I know a lot of school representatives want to see that because it can only be beneficial to everyone involved. But
I think maybe the fear would be that you'd need to, the second and third and fourth best teams might be the teams who they've already beaten to get there. It's a bit like the All-Ireland series used to be. Antrim would come up to an All-Ireland semi-final and get hammered.
Yeah, but you hope that drives standards though at the same time. You hope that they improve over time as that goes on. One of the logistical issues might be the leaving cert, is that they tend to, right after the Senior Cup finals, the students go straight back to studying. So timing-wise, it might not work, but I don't know. There's something in it.
How did Dara get on in Energia Park yesterday?
Yes. St. Mary's Blackrock final replay. So that was last year. It was St. Patrick's Day. They had the final initially, finishing the draw, 24-24. Mary's won out yesterday in Energia Park. Paul Neary, 10, scored a winning penalty.
Remember the name?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. He's been the star of the...
How many outhouses have you anointed as the future?
Will he end up being the Mary man? Or will he be the legit deal?
Casper Gabriel.
Like
what?
Don't worry about it. It's a private joke to me.
What did he say?
It's all right. You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it. It's for this side of the table.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you know what we did? It was really good.
On the same table.
It was... Will he be the next one up?
Not to put that pressure on him.
Say. Yeah. Is he destined to be the Neary man?
Hey.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
I got it.
Is it over there?
Very good, very good. Okay. Yeah.
Everyone's
There's a few lads coming through. There's Luke Coffey is another one. He's the Blackrock 9. His older brother Oliver played for Leinster already. So he's been with the Leinster under-18s, the Ireland under-18s. So there's plenty of talent coming through. But Paul Neary's one that's been earmarked. He's played 3 years of Senior Cup now, so he's got as much experience out of that level of rugby as possible.
Mm.
Started and played every minute, I think, of this season's Cup. So he's been a star of the last two games and... definitely one to watch out for, but like, look, he's not in the Leinster Academy yet, really officially. Yeah. Like he's not on contract yet, so not to put too much pressure on him. But he's very impressive.
I get excited by this level. Do you know? I was talking about this about this Go transition from schools to professional rugby and just the differences in it.
Yeah,
I was anecdotally telling a buddy of mine, someone there, under 10, unbelievable football coach, says to your man, most of these lads won't make it. I wonder what's the percentage making it in rugby.
Yeah, it depends what's making it as well. I suppose if you get into the Leinster Academy
contracts,
yeah,
even Joshua Kenny, someone who was, I know he was a sevens guy, wasn't he?
And they recruited him. Story, yeah. But he was,
you know what I mean.
Player,
the idea is that he was, you know, the transition was. It's funny in rugby. It's like there's actually not that many steps from school to making it.
No, it's
compared to other sports.
You're kind of good enough, or you're not out of schools, and that's it. It is really interesting. But like the level in terms of like the physicality is huge. Like I know like guys from Leinster, John McKee's involved with Blackrock this year. So the link to the professional game is there. And I remember Dan Sheehan talking about it before that he was at a game. He was a Clongowes guy, but he was at a game not that long ago and he was like struck by the physicality. This is a world-class international talking about that level. So yeah, they're ready. A lot of them would be ready-made coming out of school. They're proper talents and they're up to the physical levels. Now, when you get into Leinster Academy, there's a lot of work there and they go down to South Africa and play underage. So a lot of development still to happen, but it's a great level, yeah.
All right. Look, I look forward to talking to JT about that. Do you have any appetite for just one more club soccer story?
Yeah.
To do with Arsenal?
Go for it.
Are you into this?
How do I know if you haven't told me already?
You have an idea of it. The Ghost of April's Past is Arsenal's title anxiety returning? This is written by Jonathan Winston, The Guardian, right?
So I disagree with all that stuff, but go on. I haven't read the piece yet, but I've just heard everybody talking about it.
It delves into exactly what you imagine we're delving into, is that like these lads are going to bat. What's the laugh? Is the laugh at Arsenal?
No, I'm just ready to hear it now.
Oh,
yeah.
But the game has no relevance in 3 weeks' time. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, go on.
I mean, literally the segue is speaking of no relevance. Because the last time that, the only time Arteta's won a trophy with Arsenal was 6 years ago. And I was looking at this on Sunday night, the team, just to see, that was there any crossover whatsoever with the current generation beyond the manager? And there's one player who was there that day in that weird COVID FA Cup final against Frank Lampard's Chelsea.
The first edition of it.
First edition.
I have no recollection of that.
The only man. Who do you think the only man was?
I think they beat City in the semi-final, did they?
I don't remember the semis at all, I have to say. I have a good memory for finals, but semi-finals I can never really remember.
Actually, I don't know who the player is. Is it Ben White?
Ben White back in the England squad.
Ben White, no. Ben White had a great 22-23, I think.
Why did you call him up and not Trent?
There must be. He has a severe issue with the footballing side of Trent, I'd say.
That's mad. Ben White didn't even want to be there.
The only player, personally, who was involved there the other day, that was about 2020. Bukayo Saka. On the bench, unused substitute in 2020, wearing shirt number 77.
That was really wholesome.
Do you know who was in goal?
Wholesome moment.
It was in goal.
For Arsenal?
Bernardo.
Emi Martinez.
Yeah, would have been. Yeah.
Oh, you're a boy. And then they sold him to you.
I did know that.
He had the FA Cup run, didn't he? And he was really good.
He was the FA Cup goalkeeper, what Kepa wanted to be. Like, that was what Martinez was.
Chelsea signed Martinez, they'd be in the Champions League next season.
Well, that's a big, grandiose thing.
I do like Emi, yeah. I do. Good now, he does want to always get away, which is a little bit like, you know, I don't mean to trap you here, Emmy. You feel a little bit trapped.
I just felt a bit sorry for Arsenal on Sunday night. And I was like, what was the team when he actually won his trophy 6 years ago? And there's some great names, like Rob Holding played. Rob Holding plays in MLS now. You know what I mean?
I would love to play in the MLS.
Hector Bellerin, remember him?
Yeah. He's still playing good football. Like
Is he?
He's Betis, isn't he?
He's not like a fashion.
He's Real Betis.
He's Real Betis.
Fashionista. 2023.
We have him on.
He could be both.
We had Bellerin on.
You can love your fashion and be good at football.
Yeah, no, but I thought that was just like more.
I think he was slightly ahead of his time fashion wise.
He was, yeah.
Slightly ahead of his time.
Mullets and.
Depends who you ask.
You want to move on, yeah? Ainsley Maitland Niles played. Who's he played for now?
Who's holding to come off his line, bruv? So him, that's me.
Olympic Lyonnais.
Also a great move.
Yeah.
Nice part of the world to live.
Yeah. Danny Sabalos played. He plays for Real Madrid now? Nicolas Pepe, remember him?
Yes.
72 million down the Swanee. Their sub goalkeeper, that guy was a guy called Matt Macy.
Nicolas Pepe played. Did he?
And do you know what, sir? He didn't just play. Played the whole game.
Full 90.
He is the thing that ruined Unai Emery's reputation.
Yeah,
Emery went to bat for him, and in fairness, Unai Emery not good at identifying players to sign for your club.
What happened with Evan Gasson? That was crazy. Like, he was in and he was out.
He's doing all right now, is he?
Literally everybody at Villa is in and out.
There's
almost no signings they've made that have been good.
He likes Jadon Sancho. Play Sancho a fair bit.
Maybe he'd still be out again.
He's gone. He's already gone to Dortmund.
He's not. With the link with it.
No. He's in negotiations with them. Yeah. Anyway, we gotta go. Come on.
We're not going to talk about club football now for weeks, and people can be can luxuriate in that. Do you know what I mean? This is like the goodbye to club
Hopefully
football.
Hopefully, we're still talking about Ireland next week, this day next week, because if we are, something wonderful has happened. No?
What a segue there to our next piece. I wish you well in your travels.
The Viagra read.
Yeah.
That's our next piece.
I'll be chatting to you before I go. You know?
I don't think, no, after this, then we're gone. That's it.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.